0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. So much has been said about Sunday's game at Ibrox. It's now time already to look forward for Rangers and Celtic as Graham Murty's men try and bounce back against Kilmarnock, whilst the Hoops want to keep their run going at Fir Park. Neil Lennon's been banned from the touchline for 3 matches as Neil McCann and Xander Clark are cited for their bust-up on Saturday. And Jack Ross isn't quite ready to talk titles as St Mirren close in at the top of the Championship. Plenty to get through this evening. It's a Thursday night, and that means I'm in the company of Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. Are we both raring to go for another big weekend of football, Gordon?
Yeah, looking forward to it, Gordon. After excitement of Sunday with Rangers and Celtic, 5-goal thriller sending off, still a lot of talking points going on, even though it's Thursday. But I'll be back to business again for Rangers at the beginning Saturday against informed Kilmarnock team, who will be disappointed to get out of the Scottish Cup and penalty kicks the other night. They're in good form. Steve Clark's got them well organised, got them playing well. Rangers will be looking to bounce straight back after that disappointing defeat to Celtic. And then obviously the big one in Sunday, Gordon, you know, Motherwell v Celtic, which I think will be a really, really interesting game. I think it'll be a hard game for Celtic. And I'm looking forward to a real weekend. And we've got other games as well, important games. You've got, you know, Ross County and Hamilton, which is going to be massive. I was at Hamilton Motherwell on Saturday, and I thought Hamilton played very, very well. And I think they're always put down the fact that they're going to get relegated at the beginning of the season. Everybody tips them to get relegated. And to be fair to that club, they just, year after year, they prove everybody wrong, and I think it'll be the same this year. After watching them against Motherwell in the Lanarkshire derby, I think they've got enough to stay in the league.
So Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. All that's left is for you to join them. 0141 951 1025 is the number on the phone lines. We are here on Twitter, as always, at Clyde SSB as well. A number of topics to get through this evening, even if it's something we've not covered off. Feel free to get in touch. I'm sure you have the breaking news tonight as well on our news programme that the Offensive Behaviour at Football Act has been scrapped as well. So I know that is of interest to many football fans out there. 0141 951 1025, or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Mark Wilson, in terms of looking forward, I know so many people still want to talk about the game on Sunday. The phone lines have been incredibly busy. But if we take that in terms of looking to this weekend, what's it like coming off the back of one of these fixtures? Everything that goes into it, the build up, unbelievable. You know, a week building up to all the talk, all the mind games, if you want to call it that, all the pressure, and then you either win the game or you lose the game. Well, you might draw, but you get where I'm going here.
Yep.
And then it's you come down to another bread and butter run of the mill fixture, if you like. What's that like?
Well, either way, if you win or lose the game, it's still a massive come down. You know, it's like coming off the back of one of these Champions League games where, you know, the atmosphere is great. Everything you've done is geared towards us. The press around it is so intense. And then it's a bit of a come down. So it can be quite difficult. We've seen in the past, results tend to differ. Sometimes the team who has been beaten come the next week and get a great result, and the team who's won are on a high, and they take their foot off the gas a wee bit and slip up. And you know, Celtic, looking at the fixture, Celtic have definitely got a very tough game at Motherwell. You know, the way that they've been playing this season, especially recently, it's going to be tough. And Rangers, equally so, Kilmarnock side that are going very well under Steve Clark these days, it's going to be a tough one. But it's the ideal fixture, I think, for Rangers to bounce back at Ibrox. You know, it's a chance for the players to put things right. They played well for a lot of the game, but they're coming up against a very well organised Kilmarnock team. So it'll be interesting to see if they've got enough to break them down, and they should have enough, because they created, even on Sunday, enough chances to score against Celtic. So it should be enough to see them through Kilmarnock.
You know what it's like in this city, because Rangers and Celtic fans pretty much go into every league game thinking that they should win it. So one defeat's bad enough. If you follow up with another defeat, you know, all of a sudden people
start to
panic. I mean, for instance, I was having a bit of a browse back over your time, and if you think the game in which Hugo Egeog scored that famous winner and Rangers won the game, you then went on to lose the very next week at Falkirk. When you follow up an Old Firm defeat and then the pressure being on the following week, if you lose again, does it really?
Well, the thing is, when you lose these games, you're absolutely desperate to get back out on the pitch, and everything's a wee bit frantic. You know, you're trying to make up for things on the training pitch, and everyone's desperate to get this next game right. Get the next game, we'll put things right. You know, get the fans back on side. But if it goes the opposite way, like you just said there, I mean, all of a sudden you get sections of the support starting to turn on you. Like you've lost the Old Firm game. That can sometimes happen, but you've now lost in the league, and like I say, it turns into a mini crisis. Then the next game after that becomes huge, because if you lose that, the manager's in all sorts of problems, your positions as a player's in all sorts of trouble, and the fans run out of patience quickly. So important, if you do come off the back of that, the Old Firm game with a defeat, you need to follow up with a win quickly to get the fans back on side and you're in the league kind of campaign back in sight, especially Rangers. You know, they'd done a lot of good work early on in the year, and to go off track just now would be catastrophic, because you've got Aberdeen who look like they'll win, so they need to follow this up with a win against Kelly, and it'll not be easy.
Well, if it is about redemption for Rangers, then you could say the same for Kilmarnock. Stevie Clark says his players won't be affected by being knocked out of the Scottish Cup on Tuesday. He's looking forward to the trip to Ibrox as a chance for them to redeem themselves. After the defeat on penalties, he says they may be forced into some changes, but one thing's for sure, he says they will be up for the fight.
It's a defeat on penalties. It's hardly the end of the world. We'll give them a day off tomorrow. We'll get them back in Thursday. We'll probably give them not very much training in the next 2 days. We get ready to go to Ibrox. Great game to bounce back in, and we look forward to it. I might need to freshen the team a little bit, because I've got a lot of, like I said before, I've got a lot of tired bodies in there. But come Saturday 3 o'clock, we'll be ready.
I mean, listen, Gordon, Rangers will still go into that game as favourites, so I'm not trying to take anything away in that regard. I just wonder though, if Graham Murty could have handpicked a fixture for the next game after Celtic, I'm not sure he would have picked arguably the informed team in the country, or certainly one of them.
No, but what he'll be delighted with, Gordon, is it's at home. I know that it's well documented that their record this season at home hasn't been that great. They've been better on the road. But after scoring 2 goals against Celtic and that thriller, they'll be looking for another packed house, which they'll get. The atmosphere has been terrific there this season, and they'll be hoping that spurs his players on. He'll look at Kilmarnock and have, you know, a thought in his head that Steve Clark said there, he might have to change one or two players. I don't think he will, because Kilmarnock's not got the biggest squad in the league because of finances. And I think when you go to a place like Ibrox, you've got to play your strongest side. I know that Steve Clark's an experienced guy that looks and thinks, well, we've had a real difficult game against Aberdeen. It's went to extra time. We lost in penalties. He's given them a day off. He's got to pick them up. Where Rangers, on the other hand, they played on Sunday, so it gives them an extra day's rest. But I think that every Kilmarnock player won't be looking and saying, well, listen, boss, I'm a bit tired here, leave me out today. You want to play, and you want to play in front of the crowds that, you know, come along to Ibrox and Celtic Park. So I think tired.
What about the Rangers players, though? What about guys like Morelos? On the flip side, who's been, you know, scored a lot of goals for Rangers, the main man. But you come off the back of a game like that where you've missed, I mean, a chance that'll live with him forever, and it'll live with the fans forever. Do you play him, or do you play the guy who everyone
Jason
was shooting for?
Aye. Well, I think that's the decisions that Graham Murty now, he's talking about after the game, I'm learning as a manager. Well, when you're a manager of Rangers, you've got to learn very quickly, because all the good work's soon forgotten about. It's all about a results-driven business, especially when you're at clubs the size of Rangers. It'll be interesting, Mark. Me personally, I would play the lad. I would put him back out there. I didn't think Jamie Murphy looked particularly 100% fit on Sunday. I would maybe bring Cummings in and play Cummings off the left-hand side, freshen it up a little bit. But if you leave him out as a striker, and the one thing I played up there, don't get me wrong, I never missed chances like that. I was too good.
Here we go.
But the one thing that if you played as a centre forward, the worst thing was sitting in a dressing room thinking, I didn't get a chance today. I didn't get a sniff at goals today. Whereas when you walked off and you thought to yourself, I've missed a couple of half chances. Well, he missed a big chance, but a couple of half chances. You were desperate for the next game to come. I think especially at Ibrox, I would play him. I know it's a big ask, but I would play him.
George is a Rangers fan in Motherwell. George, what type of reaction are you looking for this weekend?
Hi, Gordon. Before I go on to my point, I was just listening to Mark and yourself speaking there about the difference of the Rangers this week and if about no winning the game or maybe losing or drawing. The other thing is, on the flip side of it, is also Celtic are a big game. Their fans will be expecting them to go to Firth Park on Sunday and win that game after getting a good result at Ibrox. But if they didn't win again, it goes back to like their fans could go on their back also as well. Yeah, they're still in front, but again, if Rangers win on Saturday and they don't get a result on Sunday, again, it kind of swings and roundabouts. But my point is to Gordon and Mark as well. Looking at last week's game, I don't see a big hell of a difference in between the two sides. I think Brendan Rodgers was a wee bit more astute, and Gordon, yourself being a manager and obviously played at Ibrox, do you not think that when Simunovic had been sent off, Murty should have put Cummins on right away and probably a fresh set of legs in the midfield and maybe get Jason Holt and played the card and let Celtic look at it and say, well, right, they've done it. I think the way Brendan Rodgers has looked at it and says, he's not made a change for about 15 minutes here, so I'm going to play my card and see what they come up against. And I think that's what Murty's a wee bit more inexperienced in that side is that if he'd have played his card and put Cummins on and maybe a set of fresh legs as in Holt or Halliday in the middle, if they gave Brendan Rodgers something to think about and think, well, I need to put somebody from a midfield back, or then I need to put maybe a defender on, and he wouldn't have had that maybe opportunity to put a striker on, Gordon. What do you think?
George, I totally agree with everything you said there about the tactical side of it on Sunday. And I think Graham Murty, in hindsight, will look back and think, I should have moved quicker. And you talk about playing that card. Yes, I think, I said at the weekend, if you swap managers over dugouts, if you put Brendan Rodgers over the Rangers dugout, I know that other Rangers fans don't want to hear that, but I'm talking just in, you know, an opinion here. You sit him in that, he would have made that, he would have probably made two substitutions right away and said to Celtic, we're coming after you now. And what it does, George, it puts a little doubt into your mind as a manager thinking, right, what happens here? They're going very attacking. Do I make that switch with an attacking player, or do I 2-2 Ibrox, I'm down to 10 men, or do I just go and say, a point does us anyway? So I think that Brendan Rodgers realised the Rangers manager's not making the move, I'm going to be first in, and it was a terrific move he made. You've got to hand it to him, a terrific move that won him the game.
I totally agree, but as I said there, Graham Murty, he's gave that card to Brendan Rodgers. He's made him do that, you know, so you're thinking, if you've played your card before, Brendan Rodgers wouldn't have put on it, Edson Edouard.
Well, we don't know that, George.
Would you have done it, Gordon, as a manager? That's my kind of point to you. No. Would you have done that as a manager?
See, be fair, just listening to Graham Murty this week, I think Graham Murty realises, you know, I've sort of boobed a little bit. I should have made the first move. He had all the advantages. And plus the fact you had Boyata having probably the worst game he's ever had in a Celtic jersey. He was having an absolute nightmare of a game. And get at him, you know, really go and make that, you know, 11v10 advantage really count. At a home, you've got that massive support behind you. I think he missed a trick, but the one thing is, and you've got to give credit, Brendan Rodgers didn't miss a trick.
That's why I have to disagree, George, when you say that you didn't think there's or don't think there's much between the teams, because when you see the game, okay, on certain occasions when Rangers, you know, were in the lead, they looked strong at some points. But I thought Celtic always looked in control. And when you talk about teams, you've got to include managers in the team as well. You know, it's a full package. And for me, Brendan Rodgers is miles ahead of Graham Murray. And making those changes, you know, it just shows you the difference between the sides. And even if you look at the bench, I mean, Brendan Rodgers could have looked round to that bench and, you know, picked any one of the guys to go on and they would have made a contribution. You know, you look round to the Rangers bench, everyone's shouting for Cummins, and he probably should have been on earlier. Apart from that,
I mean, I suppose the likes of Dorans and Jack and McCrory, for instance, are unavailable.
Yeah, they're all injured, Celtic's got a list of injuries as well. That's why there's such a big difference between the
teams. You're right about the bench. If you look at Celtic's bench, it's so strong, it's unbelievable. But you said, apart from Cummins, the one guy I would have given the last 15-20 minutes to against 10 men is Kenny Miller. He's got the experience.
Kenny's 37.
But you're looking at 15-20 minutes that can turn the game. He's played in these games. He's scored numerous goals in these games. He's clever. He's a very experienced player.
If George is saying the difference between the sides isn't that great, I mean, if you're talking about putting Kenny Miller on, or the difference between Edward, who's rated 8 million, or Scott Sinclair, or... Come on, that shows the gap between the two teams. It might be closer.
You're making up figures now. Who's rated on 8 million?
Well, that's the figure, is it not?
What figure?
That PSG are one, is it not?
That's the figure that's out there, George,
making up numbers, this guy.
George, I am quite keen to look forward. What about this weekend then, in terms of the size of task that faces Rangers and trying to bounce back? Kilmarnock obviously going great guns.
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, me being a Rangers fan, I think Rangers will bounce back. And to go back to my point, I don't think, Mark, I agree with you with Brendan Rodgers. Yeah, he's had Premiership experience and stuff like that, and European experience. But the teams are, looking at the last two games, Mark, there isn't a massive difference that people keep saying that there is between the two teams. There's maybe one or two players here, and Gordon's right. Rangers, Kenny Miller there, Graham Cummins, wholeheartedly. There's players here that could have done that, but yeah, going back to my point, I think Saturday is a massive game for Rangers, but I think and I believe that they've all come through it, because I can see they've been hurting and they've played well in the last few games, and Celtic have maybe raised the bar a wee bit in their opposition, how maybe experienced the players have got. But I think Rangers will come back, and they'll come back out fighting on Saturday.
Okay, thanks to George in Motherwell. Sorry, George, to move it along, because I have something very important to tell you about and time is up against me. Thanks for phoning in. Keep the calls coming, 0141 951 1025. But what about this for an offer? How do you fancy an extra £2,000 in your bank just in time for the weekend? It's Gordon Dale, it's your birthday weekend.
Yeah, that would be lovely.
Imagine.
Yeah. Birthday tomorrow, grand would be...
You may get a card from Mark Wilson with £2,000 in it. But
he would go out with £2,000 and come back with
five.
£2,000 and £10. But
joking aside, not everyone is fortunate enough to have a birthday this weekend, and you could have an extra £2,000 in your bank if you enter Clyde One's 2K Day. Now, all you have to do to enter is text the word YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. As always, you need a G, M, L, P, A, K, A or F, K postcode. A winner will be chosen at random when the lines close at 9 o'clock tomorrow. The text costs £150. T's and C's and online entry are at Clyde1.com.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And as always, we would simply love it for you to get involved. 01419511025 is the phone number, and we are on Twitter at ClydeSSB as well. Mark Wilson, you know that way that it feels like every week that Gordon DL joins us, there's like another story and something stupid that he's done in the last couple of days.
Yes.
It seems that way, doesn't it?
Very often.
And you will know that Gordon DL and I... happen to live next to each other. I don't do it deliberately. So we happen to go to the same gym. Like, we're not pals. I don't want to hang about with them.
Yeah, you do.
But I was in the gym yesterday and noticed that a Gordon DL, he came wandering up to me, sheepish look in his face, and like a wee 5-year-old in the playground. He showed me his elbow, which was skint and actually had some blood, because he had just fallen in the gym in public. He had actually fallen
off. Oh, we've got to get footage. There must be some sort of footage.
I turned my back and I missed it, and he had rolled off.
I fell off.
Cut his elbow.
I've seen the way he swaggers about that gym as well. Think he owns it. Incredible. And he's fell. Oh, I wish I'd seen that.
Have you got a wee Spider-Man plaster on your elbow?
It was an embarrassing moment.
I think we can dig out the CCTV. We must be able to. Anyway, back to the football, shall we? Because we talked about Rangers and how they bounce back, if you like, from the game on Sunday. What about Celtic then, and the way that they will try and keep that run going? They go to Fir Park in Motherwell. Stephen Robinson admits they are playing a Brendan Rodgers team high on confidence after the game at the weekend, but as always, he looks back to the 1-1 draw in September and warns that Motherwell must show the same level of desire if they're to get anything out of the game.
They've done very well. I was very impressed with Rangers as well. I seen Graham Murray during the week, and you know, I thought they were very good at times, Rangers. I think it shows the strength and depth Celtic have got. You know, when they bring people off the bench like they do, you know, you turn around and go, here we go. You know, another one comes on. So they've done that, and they've built that up over a number of years. You know, it's going to take Rangers a while to get to that level where they have that level of squad. But you know, it was an intriguing game. It was a brilliant advert for Scottish football, I have to say. It was thoroughly a really, really enjoyable football match. But they'll come bubbling with confidence, as they always do. You know, a team that don't say die, and they have to be given credit for that there, as well as the quality that they have within the ranks. But we have to focus on us. We have to have a game plan that affects them. You know, we have to do what we done in the first game here against them. We have to do what we done for 60 minutes against them in the cup final before we had a red card. And try and be competitive, and we will do. And I'm sure Brendan knows he'll be in for a tough game. You know, they know how close they came. They know how close the final was. You know, they were still beating us 1-0, do you know what I mean, before the red card. Who's to say that would have changed the game or wouldn't have? But we were very competitive. We were in the game. What the last game proved, that if you're not at the races, that's what Celtic can do to you. You know, they beat us at their place, and they beat us comfortably. And if we're not every to a man, you know, with our 18 man squad right on it, right up for it, winning every battle, winning every second ball, and then trying to get the ball down and play football in areas that will hurt them, then you can be punished by them. So we've made both four. We've looked at all three games. We've looked at what we can improve. We've looked at where Celtic have weaknesses and we feel we can expose. And you know what? Obviously, that's all good on paper. You have to go out on Sunday and make sure you do that.
There we are, Mark. That goes back to what we said at the top of the programme. When you come off a massive fixture like a Rangers-Celtic game, the challenges are there, whether you win or lose. We talk about Rangers trying to bounce back, but for Celtic, of course, there will be this. I'm not saying confidence ever went away, but all of a sudden now the fans really feeling great about things again, and probably expecting there to be a steamroller procession towards the end of the season.
Yeah, that's exactly what they'll be thinking. Because don't forget, going into this Rangers game, there was some saying, oh well, Celtic have, you know, the form's dipped a lot, and there's been a lot of draws this season, and they've been beat, and oh, you know, it's not looking great. But they got the result against Rangers. You're totally right. The fans are thinking, right, okay, things are back in track. The performance was brilliant, even with 10 men. Let's go ahead and finish the season in style. You know, let's extend the points gap, if anything. Don't let it come back down the way. Let's extend it. So going to Fir Park, that big backing behind the goals, will be expecting to go there and win. But look, Motherwell have shown how they can compete with Celtic. Stephen Robinson, exactly right with what you're saying. When Celtic went there early in the season, Motherwell pushed them all the way, and Celtic came away with, they would probably say, good fortune in the end, getting away with a point. That was the decision that was contested so much and spoke about so much, but they still managed to grind out a point. So they know, the players are going to Fir Park on Sunday, know it's a tough place to go. They've came up against Motherwell three times this season, and they've had two tough games. So I don't think it'll be any different on Sunday. But Brendan Rodgers, will go back to it, has the luxury of, if he thinks one or two players need to be taken out and a bit of pace or strength added into the squad, he's got that. Guys like Armstrong coming back, Paddy Roberts desperate for a game, you know, chomping at the bit to get on, he's got these guys to bring in. So he's got a lot of options, a lot to think about, and that's what makes this Celtic team so good. They can keep upping it when they think maybe players will come off it a bit, because it's not a big game like Ibrox. So that's the advantage Celtic have, but it's going to be a very tough game, and it'll be a good one to watch, I think. Always entertaining at Fir Park.
Yeah, we'll be going to it, Gordon, sitting in our usual seats, looking at...
in the Gordon Neil stand.
Honestly.
Yeah, well, you know, I was there a couple of weeks ago. I was there against Hamilton, and on Saturday. Motherwell will need to play better because I thought they weren't at it on Saturday. But Celtic's a completely different game. As Mark touched on, there'll be a terrific crowd, good atmosphere. As I said, with Kilmarnock players, that's what you want to play. You want to get involved. But the one thing you've got to say about the Celtic team, every time you look at it and think, well, this has got to be a difficult game. Aberdeen was a big one after Zenit. How will they respond? They went up and they won that, and they won that comfortably. Rangers are now back in form. Rangers fans really thought they could go and beat Celtic. They went to Ibrox, showed their strength and their mettle. I think they'll do the same again, but I think Mark said it right. I think it'll be a hard game.
Eddie is a Celtic fan in Neilston. Eddie, is the expectation from you as a Celtic fan that this team really just kicks on now and goes from strength to strength until the end of the season?
Well, I think we all get better now. Some of the better players are coming back from injury. A long spell there, they so many injuries, it was a bounty, consistency. But the guys come back, like Roberts and Armstrong coming back, I think we all get better as the season goes on. But I do think it'll be a really tough one on Sunday.
Still there, Eddie? Yeah,
I'm still here. Actually,
I thought we had lost you
against Motherwell.
Well, always is against Motherwell. Always
it's,
is tough.
It's because the one thing, especially at Fir Park, we've witnessed
it's the tight pitch and so on as well. Yeah, there's a different fact from if it was at Celtic Park.
And Motherwell's strengths under the manager is their work rate. They'll get in about Celtic. They'll try and make it difficult. He touched on there an important thing for managers to tell players: winning the second balls, especially against Celtic. But the one thing, you look at Celtic, it's as simple. If they turn up with their A game, it doesn't matter what Mother will do. Celtic have got better players and will cut you open and score goals against you. But if they don't, it's always a difficult game because Mother will be right on the front foot, having a go. And it's up to, you know, Mother will try and create the chances to give them something that they can go and cause Celtic problems with.
Eddie, you want to come back in?
Yeah, it was. I actually phoned up about everybody talking about the substitutions last weekend. I thought the Rodgers' substitutions were obvious, but maybe even obvious. I mean, when the sending off happened, the first thing he did is he took off Rogic, which is a luxury player, and put on Jack Henry. So he sorted out the defence right away. And then when he replaced Forrest for Odson, that was almost like for like, just a bit more direct. Forrest kind of drifted out the game anyway, so I just thought it was, everybody keeps talking about this, so amazing substitution, but I thought you look at it, they were kind of obvious substitutions, and very similar to what you've done in the past in the table down to 10 men.
I think the one, you know, Edward gets spoke about a lot, but I think seeing the problem right away and making the substitution with Jack Henry and, you know, moving things about a bit, I thought that was quick thinking. That needed to be done sharpish.
I think maybe the reason, correct me if I'm wrong, the reason that probably isn't getting as much praise is that's fairly common, isn't it? I mean,
fairly
you expect
common,
if a defender gets sent off, most teams send another one on.
But he could have, you know, I'm talking about system wise. So he could have thought, you know, we'll go with a three here because he had the personnel. We'll go with a three, or we'll do this, we'll do that. Nope, went with a four. Jack Henry right back, who's probably never, I can't remember him ever playing right back, but put him in, had the confidence. But with Edward coming on, no, I don't think that was similar. James Forrest is an out-and-out winger, likes to play in that touchline, and he wasn't really involved at that stage of the game. And Brendan Rodgers, I think he came out and explained that, said, look, their fullbacks were getting up the pitch, they were leaving their two centre-halves. I thought, we'll go two for two, because he backed Dembele and Edward against the Rangers centre-halves. And it just shows, that takes a lot of confidence when you're down to 10 men. How many times have we seen managers go, down to 10 men, one up front, isolate him, get long balls to him and get support? He thought, no chance, I'm sticking two up here.
Where I think he gets a pat in the back for his substitutions, I think Gordon's right about Jack Henry. I think that was just common sense. Get him on, defender, reshape the back four, put him at right back. But he could have quite easily, 10 men, 2-2, and thought, right, I'll still leave Dembele up there, and when we try and break on them, he could have brought Armstrong on right away.
Or Roberts, or Sinclair.
But he didn't. He brought on Edward to go up there with his pace and play with Dembele, and the link up for the third goal was terrific play. Great ball from Dembele, great finish. So I think that managers earn their corn by tweaking things on the park with systems, making substitutions, and I think Brendan Rodgers certainly earned his money on Sunday because he was shown that his substitutions come on and won him the game.
Okay, thanks to... Oh, on you go, Eddie, then. Go on, one more.
To bring on Roberts. But it was very clear when you were very obviously looked at it, he needed somebody to hold the ball up further up the pitch. And Roberts isn't the greatest for that, but odds on, it's a fantastic target man to bring the ball up to, hold on to it and bring other people in.
Great stuff. Thanks to Eddie and Nielsen. It's 01419511025 if you want to have your say. Chris is a Rangers fan in Alloa, and we're going to hear from him after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. And remember, we're going to play Beat the Pundit just after 7 o'clock. There's a school of thought out there that you've got quite a good chance on a Thursday night. Not mine, not my opinion. That's just what I hear.
Whose opinion is that?
That's just what I hear. And remember, all this week we're giving away tickets to Scotland against Costa Rica just for getting through and playing. So you don't even need to win. Bear that in mind. I'll give you the shout in about 15 minutes or so for that one. Just before I take Chris's call, Gordon, something I didn't get to when we were hearing from Stephen Robinson is that the bad news for Motherwell fans like yourself, Craig Tanner out for about 6 months, it looks like, after picking up a knee injury in training. It's going to be surgery next week. So certainly out of, you know, this season, and that includes not only the very near future, the game against Celtic, but of course the Scottish Cup semi-final, maybe a Scottish Cup final, who knows. And that's going to be a big blow, isn't it?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. I've been very impressed with Tanner. He's a terrific footballer, the lad. And it's sad because you've got really good important games coming up. For instance, Sunday Celtic, you want to play in the sort of games. You've then got the semi-final with a chance of getting back to Hampden for a final. Okay, it's got to be a difficult game against Aberdeen, but no, he's been a real find, and I think he'll be a big loss. And we just hope the lad gets a speedy recovery and gets back playing, and you know, get back onto that turf at Fir Park and entertain myself and you, Gordon.
Not sure there's ever a good time to pick up a serious injury, Mark. So I'll put that out there to make sure this question really doesn't sound stupid as it did in my head for a second. But not only do you miss the business end of the season, you're then in danger of missing pre-season as well. And everyone knows what that means.
Nightmare. It's even you miss pre-season, no joke, it puts you so far behind. And you'll hear some players say that even in January, when they're back, you know, playing, and they've done their pre-season with maybe a physio, not a full team, they still feel short from the rest of the team. I think I missed one maybe pre-season, and it knocked me back the full season. You just feel, you just didn't feel part of it. Pre-season is, it just brings everybody together, because never mind the trips going away, but see when you're struggling, you're doing these together, long runs, you're all together and you're pulling each other through, and you're injured, and the guys come back in the dressing room and, oh, how was the run? Oh, it was tough, but we're glad it's out of the way. You feel totally lost. So it's a shame that the boy, like you say, is missing the running, but pre-season's a huge thing he's missing.
Chris is a Rangers fan from Alloa. Hi, Chris.
Hello, lads. Evening, he's off.
What's your point tonight, Chris?
Point tonight is, to be honest, if you look at the game at the weekend, fair enough, we might have maybe made a wee mistake when we put in. We come in zone a wee bit earlier. But if you look at the performance through the weekend to the dross that we were watching under Pedro Cassino, I think he's done a remarkable job. They're talking about Brendan Rodgers making inspired substitutions, etc. But look at what he's got at his disposal. He's got X amount of million pound players there. Mark, he's just putting a wee squad together at the minute. I think what he's doing, like I say, in my opinion, I would give the man the job. And I think we maybe need to cut the guy a wee bit of slack, all right? He made maybe a wee mistake, but up until Celtic got a player sent off, half of Rangers were probably the better team, to be honest with you, and probably looked more like winning. Granted, when Celtic got the player sent off, they kind of sat in a bit, and it gave us more problems than anything else. But like I say, the main point is really for guys to get off wee Murray's back and give the guy a break. He's only been in the game 12 games, and look at the mess that he had to turn around for Cassinha. Pretty similar to what Brendan Rodgers had to do at the back of Ronnie Dillier, to be fair. And let's maybe give the guy a contract, give him a pre-season, and let's see what he can do next year. Other than the cup final, we're pretty much, this season pretty much is done for us. But I've got a message for Brenda and all the Celtic fans. We're coming to get yous, like. We're coming to get yous. What do you think of that, lads?
Well, I think there's a lot of Rangers supporters out there delighted with the job that Graham Murty is doing just now. Unfortunately, I think a big step to getting the job permanently, if he could have beaten Celtic on Sunday with the help. But I think the most important one out of all the games has got to be the semi-final, because I never thought there was a title race on, Gordon. I thought Celtic, especially with the players that they're bringing back, if you look at their bench on Sunday, I know the Rangers have got injury problems as well and good players that are injured that would add to Graham Murty's squad and add to their team and make it a bit stronger. But I always thought the semi-final's got to be the big one, because Celtic have got the League Cup, as far as I'm concerned, and everybody, they've got the league. You can make yourself a hero. Murty can really turn his season round. If he beats Celtic in the semi-final, which is a big ask, because Celtic will certainly be big favourites, he stops them back-to-back trebles, and he's got an opportunity to win the Scottish Cup, which would definitely cement his place as a manager for next season. But the pressure turns the other way. If he doesn't manage to beat Celtic in the semi-final, then people will start questioning, you know, it was the same as Derek McInnes. People were always talking about Derek McInnes. Yeah, he's doing a good job at Aberdeen, but he can't beat Brendan Rodgers. He can't beat Celtic. Graham Murty wants to get that monkey off his back. It's very difficult to do. But I think the semi-final is a big one, and if he can get over a line there, I think it cements his job for next season.
I don't think Chris has got a bad point there where he says maybe need to cut him some slack. I mean, when you think of Graham Murty and how new he is to the, you know, the managerial game at the top level. I know he was with the under-20s, but he was put in this position. You know, he didn't really ask for it. Of course, everybody would love to be the manager at a Rangers or a Celtic or a top Premier League side, but he was put in it because he was the most qualified coach probably at Rangers at that time when they needed someone. And now, all of a sudden, people are saying, well, you know, he needs to beat Brendan Rodgers, who's an established manager for years and years and years and years. And you think, it's just new in the game. You know, he has done well. He's turned Rangers' season around in that short time. He's brought in players that have made a difference, where Kashinia showed he was incapable of doing.
Well, to be fair, Morelos and Candeas have been
Yeah, they have been successes. I'll grant that. But I think the players round about them are contributing to how they're playing also, that Murty's brought in. So he's new to the game. So, yep, a lot does ride on him eventually beating Celtic. But I think he's done enough to get the job in that short space of time. And then next season, he's a proper manager. He's a proper Rangers manager. Then when people are coming on saying cut him some slack, it's a non-starter because he is the man. But for now, he's still an interim manager. So, you know, he needs to be cut a wee bit of slack now and then.
Well, Daryl's a Celtic fan from Cumbernauld, but he's got some thoughts on Graham Murty as well, Daryl.
Yes, how you doing, guys? First of all, just want to throw this out there. Celtic are crying out for a right-back. Mark Wilson, any chance of coming out of retirement?
I know that. You're right. Gordon took the words out of my mouth. Sorry.
Thanks, Daryl. Cheers. I'd be like Boyata playing at right-back.
Well, I prefer Boyata, to be fair. But anyway, my point is, guys, I want to actually cut Graham Murty a bit of slack as well. A bit rare coming for a Celtic fan, I know that. But I think that he's took on players that Pedro Caixinha brought in. I know that the Rangers fans weren't happy with him, and he's turned them round, like Morelos and Yerkandreas and whatever. He's made them into be the players that they are, and they are decent players, right? Now, I think that Murty should be given a chance to have a full season in charge, because he knows what style of play he wants to play. He knows what players, he'll have in the back of his mind what players he knows will suit that style of play that will want to come to join Rangers. Because let's be honest, Rangers are one of the biggest clubs in the world. They're worldwide known, regardless if they were reformed in 2012 or whatever. So players will want to come and play for that team with the history that they've got. And I think Murty should be given the chance to get the players in that he thinks will do the job for him. And then maybe at this point next season, if it's still not going to plan, then maybe talk about another manager. But I think it's a bit too soon to be getting rid of Murty and saying, oh, he's not good enough because he's not beat Celtic yet.
Yeah, I don't think the Rangers board will be looking at that. I think that Graham Murty will probably need a strong finish. One, I think he's got to cement second place, which I think he'll achieve. The Cup, as I say, is a big, big stepping stone for him. It could really you know, get him in there and well, he is a favourite with the fans, but that's the one that could stop. If he can do that and stop Celtic winning back-to-back trebles, what a feather in his cap that would be. You talk about, well, he's improved, you know, Morelos and Candias. But if you look at the other way, I watched Cardozo coming on. He's certainly not improved him. I've watched Alves. He's certainly not improved him.
He's a bit old now, isn't he? He's a bit, yeah.
A bit late for Alves.
I know, but yeah. you can still improve.
Windass has come on, I mean, so much under Murray.
Yeah, I'm not having a thing with Murray. What I'm saying is, I think that he needs a big end of the season. I think the next couple of months are big for him. I think he's obviously a favourite to take the job and get the job. I think the guy's done terrifically well in the January window. I thought he recruited very good. He's got competition for places. He's got injured players waiting to come back. He speaks very well in front of the press. But I think that he's got to cement second place, Matt. I don't think he can get beat with Celtic in the semi, finish third, and end up with a job in the summer.
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is time for Beat the Pundit. 30 seconds on the clock. As many sporting general knowledge questions right as you can, head to head with one of the pundits for a signed ball. And remember, just for getting through on the phone lines tonight and all week, we're going to give you a pair of tickets to see Scotland against Costa Rica at Hampden on the 23rd. So if you want to play Beat the Pundit tonight, well, now, right now, is the time you're going to have to pick up that phone. It's 0141 951 1025, and you could play Beat the Pundit after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. They're standing by and they are desperate to play Beat the Pundit. I've never seen anything like it. They were pestering me all throughout the news there, saying, please hurry up, we're just so desperate to play Beat the Pundit. So let's meet tonight's contestant then, shall we?
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Now either Mark Wilson or Gordon DL is going to be up against Paul Joseph. He's a Celtic fan from Shettleston. Hi Paul.
Hi there.
How are you?
Brilliant.
Are you feeling confident? Fancy your chances? Good knowledge?
No really. No, read the newspaper today, but
ooh, it's always a tricky start when you've not read the newspaper. That's the thing. But well, listen, we'll see how we go. We'll toss the coin. Heads, it's Mark Wilson. Tails, it's Gordon DL. And it is heads, it's Mark Wilson you're going to be up against. So let's give him some two in his ear. And remember, Paul, before we even get going, before you even have to face any questions, you've already won yourself two tickets to go along to Scotland against Costa Rica, the New Look Scotland side, Friday the 23rd at Hampden. So you're a winner already. That sound okay?
That's brilliant.
Good stuff.
They're due one for 1990, so that's good.
That's right. I'm glad you've hung on to that, Paul. Well done. Right, let's get the clock set up. We'll mark. He can't hear us. That's fine. Great stuff. Right, get the clock up and running. Your 30 seconds, Paul, starts now. Which Motherwell player has been ruled out for up to 6 months with a knee injury?
Pass.
Which Northern European country hosted the 1958 World Cup?
Sweden.
Which Scottish Premiership manager received a 3-game touchline ban?
Neil McCann.
Which famous American talk show host is reportedly interested in investing in Swansea?
Will Ferrell.
What was the final score of last night's match between Arbroath and Ayr?
4-2.
Which Rangers player has been called up to the Wales squad?
Left back, Cannon Pass.
Yep, go on, quick, think. It's the last question. Right, okay. I can't stand it when people pass the last question. Anyway, Paul, let's bring Mark Wilson back. You with us, yes?
How long's this meant to be?
Sorry?
Is this meant to be 30 seconds?
Listen, me and Paul.
Is that a check? That's a minute.
Mark, see when I press that button and you go to Clyde 2, what that means is you don't know what Paul and I are talking about.
Oh, right, okay.
Maybe we were talking before it started. Right, maybe we spoke a little bit after it finished.
I never know.
So settle down, if you don't mind.
I'll expect a full minute.
And get ready to play. Okay. Same set of questions. I can't believe this, what's happening here. Telling me what to do. Right, you ready?
Yep.
Which Motherwell player has been ruled out for up to Craig 6 Tanner. Months with a knee injury? Which Northern European country hosted the 1958 World Cup?
Denmark.
Which Scottish Premiership manager has received the three-match touchline ban?
Neil Lennon.
Which famous American talk show host is reportedly interested in investing in Swansea?
James Gordon.
What was the final score of last night's match between Arbroath and Ayr?
1-1.
Which Rangers player has been called up to the Wales squad?
Pass.
How are you feeling about that now, Paul?
Sounds as if I've never read a newspaper ever. I've never mentioned today.
Well, listen, I don't think Mark did too much better, did he? Let's go through them and we'll see how we get on. First question: which Motherwell player has been ruled out for up to 6 months with a knee injury? Paul, Mark was lucky because we were just talking about this 5 minutes or so ago. It's Craig Tanner, so he's off to a 1-0 lead. But Paul equalised straight away, because while you started pulling faces and waving your arms when I said the World Cup in 1958, Paul kept his composure. He just dug deep into the memory bank and said Sweden. There you are. See,
I knew it was one of them countries.
So it's 1-1 after two questions. You'll be kicking yourself for this one, Paul. I can see why you made the mistake, but it was which Scottish Premiership manager received a three-match touchline ban? It is Neil Lennon. Neil McCann has just been given his notice of complaint. What about this for things you may have? And by the way, James Corden's not American, but I suppose he's an American talk show host. I see where you were going.
Unlucky, mate.
I like, you didn't see American. He says American talk show host.
So he's American. Anyway, you see what I mean. This person is American. Oprah Winfrey is apparently he's interested in investing.
She was on Lorraine Kelly the other day.
Yeah, you watch daytime TV because you're a retired footballer. Yeah. You should know that. That's when she said
Jerry
it.
McHale.
That's when she said it.
Because the other woman had shares in Swansea beside her.
So there we go. So it's still 2-1 to Mark Wilson. What was the final score of last night's match between Arbroath and Ayr? It was 1-1, I'm afraid. So he moves into a 3-1 lead, which means even if you had got the last one, what Rangers player has been called up to the Wales squad? Oh. Paul, you at least knew it was the left back and you just couldn't remember
Declan
his name.
John.
Mark, honestly.
I didn't even know he was Welsh. There you go.
He's no, but they just called him up anyway.
So, Paul, I'm afraid to say it was a 1 to you and a 3 to Mark Wilson.
No worries.
But
unlucky, Paul.
Anyway, Paul.
Well done, Mark.
Cheers, thanks, Paul.
Thanks to Paul. Courtesy of the Scottish FA, Paul is away anyway to the game against Costa Rica at Hampden on Friday the 23rd. If you want to join him and you can't get through and beat the pundit, the tickets are on public sale. You can get them at tickets.scottishfa.co.uk. Prices start £15 for adults and £5 for children. You could go along to that, couldn't you? I mean, I'm not giving you tickets for free, but you could take the kids along.
You're getting them for free. Aye, no, that's I will. If they were interested in football, I would, but they're not. So I'll need to go myself.
Your kids not interested in football?
No, they
Xbox
don't like
players.
It.
Instead.
Xbox computers.
Obviously,
yeah.
Obviously, watched enough of you.
Exactly.
Put them off for life. What did Daddy used to do?
Dad, get that video off, would you? We've seen that goal.
We've seen you hit the ball at Papach 50 million times. Will you give it a rest already? Right, okay. Apologies. We're always quite cruel to Mark Wilson in this programme, aren't we?
I know.
You might want to share your thoughts with us on this 01419511025. It's been a busy old day for the Scottish FA's disciplinary folks, because as you just heard on Beat the Pundit, Neil Lennon has been handed an immediate three-match ban following his dismissal at Kilmarnock. He's also been hit by a further two-match suspended ban after being found guilty of misconduct. I'm sure you all remember it. He had a real pop at referee Kevin Clancy at the time. He now misses games against St Johnstone and home matches against Partick Thistle and Hamilton. This goes back to the 2-2 draw against Kilmarnock. He was dismissed after a penalty decision, and then he made these comments after the match, just to refresh your memory.
This is the same referee who didn't give us a clear handball against Rangers at Easter Road. Me being sent off, like really being overcritical of the decision at the time, I think it's he's made it personal, because I criticised him after the Easter Road game. My reaction was it one of anger, because I didn't think I deserved to get sent off. It's cost us 2 points today, that decision. And yeah, we're not getting, I think, big decisions, huge decisions have gone against us this season. Yeah, I'm at my wit's end with referees at the minute. I've sort of kept pretty sort of low-key on it this season, but some of the decisions against us this season have been absolutely horrendous. So, you know, there's not a lot you can do when you've got that kind of refereeing decisions going against. I feel for the players a little bit. I'm not happy with him at all. You ring John Fleming on a Monday and you get the same, you go around in circles, and I've lost a lot of faith in it, you know, to tell you the truth. It's amateur. every week or every other week we're talking about major decisions that are blatantly obvious when they're being called wrong. Every week I see a manager complaining about the, you know, poor refereeing decisions. Every week you watch Sports Scene and you see clear penalties that weren't given. So what can you do? It needs to get better. I think the standard is declining as the game in Scotland is improving.
So there we have it. That was just to paint a picture of what incident we were talking about, because it actually wasn't the comments, if you like, that got him in trouble. It was just the reaction at the time, Mark. What I want to know from a player's perspective, how much impact does it have when the manager isn't there?
Yeah, I think it does have a huge impact.
So, and I mean, is it serious enough to say that with Hibs right up there pushing for third and maybe even second, I mean, is it big enough that it could potentially derail that?
Well, or? I think you look at the individual manager and who he is. So if it's somebody who, you know, is a tactician but is very quiet on the touchline, you could perhaps get away with that because your assistants can do the shouting, they know their jobs, and you've done your work on the training pitch. Now, I'm not saying Neil Lennon isn't a tactician. I think he's tactically very, very good, but he's also a motivator. And seeing him on the touchline, you know, I've been there a few feet away from him when things aren't going right or things are going well, when he encourages you or when you need a kick up the backside and you turn round and you see him, it makes a huge difference. And I think the Hibs players will notice a huge difference with him not being there. I think he's such a character, and he, you know, he's got that ability to get the best out of players when they're slacking. So I think it's a huge loss for them not having him there. And I think Neil will be frustrated as well, because it's not often we see him sitting in the stands, you know, at his own game. You know, we see him in the stands watching other teams and things, but he'll be animated sitting there. He'll want to be on that touchline barking orders like he does. And I think it's a huge loss. But look, I quite liked his interview there. You know, I know it's played from before, but he's honest. At least he's honest about things. I mean, how often do you see managers getting decisions against them and they come out and say, well, I can't really say anything because they'll get done? He's totally honest and open about it. And it's a huge price he's had to pay, because it could be a big point in their season coming into this home stretch, and they're trying to catch Aberdeen. They've still got Rangers in their sights. I think he'll be a huge loss in the touchline.
On to the next one. I said it was a busy day for the Scottish FA's compliance officer Tony McGlennon. Well, Dundee manager Neil McCann and St Johnstone goalkeeper Xander Clark were both issued with notices of complaint following their post-match tussle on Saturday. Again, let's remind ourselves of what Neil McCann had to say.
Back at the end is just something that I'm obviously a bit fired up at the end. I think I was controlled during match, but I've gone over and the words were exchanged, and one of their players has put his hand on me, wouldn't let me go, so I asked him to remove his hand. He wouldn't, and it did take me a wee bit of time to calm down, to walk away from it. But when somebody puts their hands on you and you ask them to remove them and they don't do it, then it's hard to just back off of that.
Did you raise your hands as well?
No, I put my hands up to grab Xander, to say to get his hands off me, and then I retracted it, because by that time I'd started to regain a bit of composure.
It looks like in the video that you've caught him in the face.
Caught me because I've gone to grab him.
I'm just asking that.
I don't know. The video can show what you want, but there was no slap, there was no punch, there was nothing like that. I was actually putting my hand up to say, let me go. And then I pulled that away because clearly that wasn't the way to go. Maybe if my players would have showed that type of fight today, I wouldn't have got that performance.
There's also a suggestion that carried on in the tunnel as well.
Is there? By who?
Well, there's a suggestion that.
What, were you?
No, I wasn't in the tunnel.
Well, were you running in the tunnel? You don't need to know then, do you?
I'm just asking the question.
Well, no comment in the tone.
Has there been any action taken after the end of the day?
No. Untaken.
So Neil McCann was defending himself at the time. He'll have to do so again. A Hampden hearing scheduled for March 29th for him and St Johnstone goalkeeper Xander Clark. So let's get back to the phone lines. It's 01419511025. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Jerry's a Celtic fan in Mulgay. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, good. What's your point?
To Mark. Yes, I'd like to speak to Mark regarding the right back position at Celtic. I was thinking Kouassi might be do a wee shot in there rather than playing another centre-half, because he's a defensive midfield player. He knows the game and the defensive side of the game, and he's not a bad passer, to tell you the truth. So I just want to know what Mark thinks about that, because him being a full-back himself, rather than play the big guy there at right-back, put the boy in, give him a wee go to.
Well, I must admit, Jerry's no one that I ever thought about filling in at right back when the option was open at the weekend, and I'm racking my brain so he could play at right back. And this is bearing in mind Celtic have got a right back, Gamboa is there. Kouassi was never one I thought. You know, I've only ever seen him play midfield. Look, perhaps it could be a success in there, but I would think if it was going to happen, that might have happened by now, because Brendan Rodgers is, I think he's fairly good at testing his players in different positions and situations, and the fact that we've not seen him there, or even when you know, when there has been a gap there and Celtic are maybe cruising in games and you could afford to put him there to give him a wee run out, Brendan hasn't really done that. So that leads me to think that he's probably not high up in the manager's list for playing right back. I think now that Ralston's getting back to some sort of fitness, I think he could be the one, if Lustig is struggling, to come in rather than putting Ayer out there.
Lustig is struggling. Lustig's lost a bit of pace, I think. We watched him this season. You know, he looks a bit sluggish.
It happens. Look, it happens when you get older. It does happen. You know, players do lose pace. And you know what's highlighted?
Did you lose yours, Mark?
Oh, I didn't hardly had any to start with.
Your man next year lost his at 21.
Exactly. No, I know. But I think, see, at full back, and when you're playing the wider areas, when you start to lose your pace, it gets highlighted so much. I mean, centre mid, centre half, you lose your pace.
You
get away with it. You can adapt.
But you're sitting in a centre half there on Saturday or Sunday against Rangers there. You know, centre half, something to get burning pace. So probably the guy who's got pace at centre half for Celtic is Bayata, who had an absolute nightmare. But I think the boy would have been worth a go. And I think he is worth a go. I think he could get something out of him. And if you don't go into play him there, he'll never get a game. So he'd well just move the boy on then, I would say.
Gordon, does Brendan Rodgers strike you as the type that would do that? I'm trying to think if there have been any Celtic players so far that have been played out of position.
You think, yeah. Brendan Rodgers obviously works with these boys day in, day out. So he'll have an idea of how well he knows the game in that position. I think Mark touched on it. I think that Lustig and Ralston coming back, I think, is a big plus for him, because I like the boy. I know he's had a few injuries, but every time I've watched him, I've been very impressed with him. I think he's a sort of fullback that Brendan Rodgers likes. You know, very attacking fullback, strong the tackle, not a bad user of the ball. But I think that Lustig has been struggling this season, Gordon. We all know that. But he's a very experienced player. They'll get to the end of the season. And then I think that in the summer, I see Brendan Rodgers going in and try to buy someone who's a natural fullback who actually plays that position.
Jerry, you want to come back in?
No. I think
they might spend a few quid at that, what Gordon's saying, looking for a right back. I think they might actually shell out a few quid. I know Celtic have always paid the high end of their transfer fees on attacking players, you know, strikers or a Scott Sinclair. But I think the way Brendan Rodgers plays, and so much his game is you know, focused on your fullbacks, Kieran Tierney on one side with Sinclair, and Lustig, over the year and a half, he has been, you know, an attacking threat, scoring goals. And if he's losing it a bit, I think Brendan Rodgers, if he's getting any transfer kitty, might say, I'll take a good chunk and get a quality attacking right back.
Just quickly, Gordon, can I say happy birthday to Rhys Sharkey? No. Plays with Hamilton, and he says happy birthday back to me.
is there a possibility, Mark, that Brendan Rodgers considers Anthony Ralston and looks at his progress and thinks, you know, if I can't guarantee this absolute superstar who's going to come in and definitely play in front of him, then, you know, why not let him try and become this number one?
Well, he came in and Kieran Tierney, okay, Kieran Tierney was slightly different. He'd played under Ronnie Dyla, but Brendan Rodgers could have easily have came in and just went, nah, you know, I'll have Izaguirre and I'll bring somebody in. But he could see he could make Tierney a better player, and he has done that. So you might be right, you know, but it's all depending if Ralston can get up to fitness. I know, what has he got now? How many weeks of the season? Maybe 8 weeks or whatever, 9 weeks of the season left to get up to speed and have a good pre-season. If Brendan Rodgers comes back and he sees him in the pre-season games and thinks, yep, he's good for a backup, but don't really trust him for, what, 40, 50 games a season, you'll go out and buy someone, no problem.
Thanks to Jerry in Mulgay. It's 01419511025 to keep the calls coming. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. And I know you like to play along with these full-time teasers. Some great knowledge out there every night. I'm always well impressed when the pundits in the studio are toiling. You manage to come up with the goods on Twitter. So we'll set the full-time teaser after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still plenty of time to hear from you as well, so if you fancy it, get in touch. 01419511025. We're on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. It is time to set tonight's teaser. This is similar to one we had earlier in the week about it was sent in by Martin Byrne, sorry. So very similar.
Oh, he's good.
What I will say is we're still on the lookout for more teasers to keep us going till the end of the season. So it's fulltime at Clyde1.com. That's fulltime at Clyde1.com.
I think this is a bit unfair.
Why?
Because usually when Martin Burns puts a question in, it's me and Roger, it takes him on.
You don't get to decide what is fair or unfair.
Wilson tonight. Come on.
Honestly.
That's, what are you trying to say? I was on fire last week.
You get two right or something?
I can't remember, I must admit.
I got most of them right. You sat there.
Anyway,
doodling.
Anyway, right, let's Google. Go through them.
Doodling, that says no doodling. Googling. You're Googling as well.
Since 1990.
That's me.
11 players have scored for Celtic on their Old Firm debuts and are no longer at the club.
Sutton.
Hold on a wee second, will you? Since 1990, 11 players have scored for Celtic on their Old Firm debuts and are no longer signed to the club. So for instance, there are so many who've done it but are still there. For instance, Lee Griffiths and Rogic and Dembele, Sinclair, Armstrong, Edouard. Yeah. We're looking for the 11 players who've scored for Celtic on their Old Firm debuts but aren't at the club anymore. Chris Sutton. It wasn't the 5-1 game actually.
Was it?
No, it was the 6-2 game.
6-2.
Is that what you meant?
No.
So Chris Sutton's the first one. 10 more.
Since Petrov. 1990.
Stan Petrov.
Yeah. Nope.
Oh, I thought he scored at Ibrox.
He maybe did, but it wasn't in his debut if he did.
When was Kenny Miller there?
No.
No.
What, you think it was before 1990?
I'm trying to think.
Sorry. There's even a bit of debate in your head as to whether Kenny Miller played for Celtic before 1990.
Oh, I thought you meant 1998 and onwards.
I do. So what's the confusion?
You thought he meant 1990 when? Is that another 1990?
I do mean since 1990. So why would it matter?
I don't know. Because Kenny Miller, did he not do it for Rangers against Celtic? Scored in his debut.
Maravchik
is one. Is Kenny Miller a guess or not?
Yes.
Is he? Yes.
Yes.
That's what you're talking about.
2-0 game.
Mark, yep. You're with me here. You can see the look in his face there. He's all over the place.
He's nearly choked me out of that.
Kenny Miller, Chris Sutton, Lubo Moravcik. We're looking for another 8 players who've scored for Celtic on their Old Firm debuts since Burchill. 1990 and are no longer at the club. Good shout from you, Mark Wilson.
Burchill, 5-1
Mark
game.
Burchill. Yes. That's no, 4. Well, plenty of time. Absolutely loads of time. No. Robert is in Guruk. Hi, Robert.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
I'm not bad. What's your point?
I was listening to you talking about Neil Lennon's punishment today and the revisiting of the interview when Mark at the end of it praised his honesty. But to be fair, he's only been half honest. He never mentioned various decisions that have gone his way. For example, the penalty he complained about, certainly a penalty, there was no doubt about that. But in the same game, replays on the television showed that Rangers were denied an equally obvious penalty. So it was hardly a bias against Hibs. Now, the first game of the season at Ibrox and Gordon was probably there. Stokes should have been ordered off in the first 10 minutes when he threw Tavernier to the ground. It was like a judo move. And then having been booked when Ryan Jack incident cropped up, Stokes ran to the incident and grabs Jack by the throat, which was a red card, but the minimum of a yellow, which would have put him off. And there was a strange decision of when Morelis ran away from McGregor, when nobody else seen him in the goal, certainly a fair bit of distance out from the goal. When McGregor dived at him like a goalkeeper trying to save a ball and pulled him down, and for some strange reason, referee gave a foul to McGregor.
I see where you're coming from, Robert, but listen, yeah, we've listened to these managers long enough that I don't think there is a manager on this planet who's going to hold back from criticising a decision against their team purely because they maybe benefited from one in the past. I can't think of anyone who would do that.
No, but when you know that, why are you praising him for his honesty when he's only been half honest?
Well, I think Mark was only talking about that. You can speak for yourself, but I'm sure you were only talking about that specific
piece
almost, that we heard.
Yeah, exactly that, Gordon. You know, just coming on, I was more chatting in general terms where you hear managers come on after a game and they feel aggrieved and they're raging because they've not had a decision. But they come on in their interview and they say, well, I don't want to really speak about it, or, you know, I can't really speak about it, or I've not seen the incident. That's our favourite one. I've not seen the incident.
But is that not, in some respects, is that not the right thing to do? Just,
but is it not? Is it not quite good to, there are things
that you're not meant to say?
Yeah, I know. But is it not quite good to hear a human being sometimes just being honest? Like you,
well,
would,
listen, Mark.
If you went
for this radio program, it's fantastic. You're not going to get knocking it. But I'm trying to talk about the rules.
Flip the coin. Does he come out when he gets decisions that he shouldn't have?
Well, that remains to be seen.
I like Neil Lennon. I think he's doing a terrific job. He's a terrific lad. You're right, Mark. Sometimes he doesn't hold back. He says what he feels. But you cannot stand in a touchline in a modern day game now and clap your hands up in front of a referee's face as well. So as much as we'll praise Neil for coming out and speaking from what he thinks is the right way to go about his business, you know, He can't get away with that behaviour. And I'm sure that Neil now sits back, looks at that, thinks about it, and thinks, do you know what, I was wrong to do that. Because he is a touchline manager. You touched on it. He is a touchline manager. He's very much involved. Hibs are in a great position in fourth place, just tucked in behind Aberdeen, playing very well. I think he'll be a big miss. So he's been punished in that as well.
Want to come back in, Robert?
Well, the first thing I'll say is another brilliant Dale tangent, which has nothing to do with the point I made. But
thank you very much.
That's Gordon. But all I'm saying is that if he's going to be praised for being honest while omitting decisions that clearly went in his favour, just airbrushing them off the face of the earth, then he's not being totally honest. He might be honest in what he's actually saying.
But Robert, he's never going to come out after the game and go, oh look, you know, I was pretty lucky there, and I was lucky there, because they're not at the forefront of his mind.
I know,
you know
that.
You ask, any walk of life, something that enrages you and is in the forefront of your mind. So when a mic is pushed in front of him, or a camera's pushed in front of him, the first thing that's on his mind is to say, you know, I can't believe the ref got that decision wrong. It was terrible. He's never going to come out and say that. So
I understand that, Mark. What I'm saying is your praise of him for being very honest.
Just in terms of speaking freely. I mean, in the moment, speaking freely, Robert. Maybe I worded it wrong. Speaking freely. What I mean is, football managers are so restricted, and you get very little out of them in their interview. But to hear Neil Lennon speak freely is like, it's like what we do.
Do you still think he's very honest?
Do I think he's honest? It's his honest opinion. He spoke freely and he was honest. Yeah.
Thanks to Robert. It's 01419511025. If you'd like to keep the calls coming, we're looking for 11 players who've scored for Celtic on their Old Firm debuts since 1990, but are no longer at the club.
Tommy Gravison one?
He is.
Wilson, you are very, very honest.
Yeah. Just to clear up, in case anyone is playing along, when I say at the club, Eric Sviatchenko is no longer at the club, but he's away out on loan, isn't he? He's still a Celtic player, so let's forget about him, please.
Yeah, didn't have him anyway.
Did you know? Have you got any more?
I've gave you five. I've gave you three.
To be fair, after establishing that Kenny Miller played after 1990, he gave us that
he
one.
He did, and Sutton, he gave us that.
Thank you very
much. Okay. Have you any more?
Listen, plenty of time. There's plenty of time to get back to it. Let's speak to Kieran, who's a Celtic fan in Coatbridge. Hi, Kieran.
Hi, Gordon. first point is Olivier Cham. I think he's been outstanding the full season. I think he's probably the contender for young player of the league, basically. And also Edward. I'd like to think that what you think if we're going to buy him.
Let's go one at a time then, and Cham first.
Cham, I thought, was probably man of the match, although a lot of people would have given it to Scott Bain under the circumstances that Bain went out and played and that magnificent save at the end, and you know, the well documented Morelos miss. But I thought Cham was absolutely sensational and Sunday. His range of passing, I think he's got everything in his locker. I think it's taken a bit of time to settle in to the club, but you can certainly see he's got an abundance of talent, and he's only going to get better and better. And I'll let Mark, obviously, he'll talk about Edward, the £8 million player.
It's in touching on Cham. I think from mid-November, Gordon Wright took a wee bit of time to settle, but I think since mid-November, he's come into his own. And a lot of people say Scott Brown, you know, controls games, which he does. But the amount of games that I've watched Celtic in since then, Ditton Cham is actually the man who's took control of the full midfield, is incredible for someone so young. But you pay that sort of money hoping you'll get a player like that. So he is young. It was a lot of money, but he's certainly come in his own. I agree with Gordon, man and match and in the running. On Edward, no, I don't think Celtic will pay the money for him. I think he's strong.
And this type of speculation can be difficult. Let us try and put a figure on it then, Mark, because you've heard the 7 to 8 million, as you mentioned earlier, that is rumoured to be the asking price from PSG. So if that is the exact price, you're saying no.
Yeah.
I mean, where do you start to change your tune? What if there's a negotiation there? What if it comes just below 6 and, you know, with add-ons and whatever else?
To be honest, I still haven't seen it enough from him to justify a £6 million price tag. I mean,
if you're going to pay £6 million for someone, Mark, you would imagine he's going to play every week. I know that people will touch on, well, you're buying, you know,
Potential
Gordon. Yeah. But you've got Griffiths there who will bang in goals left, right and centre. Dembele, and let's see if he's still there.
I was going to say, how much of it is going to be down to what happens with Moussa Dembele in the summer?
Yeah, but would you, 6 million?
I mean, even if Dembele gets sold for one of these big price tags, I still don't think Edward is shown enough. I mean, look, I understand what it does when he scores against Rangers, the winner at Ibrox, and the fans are automatically, they're on your side right away. But if you take that out, I know he scored a hat-trick as well, but, you know, he's not had a lot of game time. And even Brendan Rodgers, remember, went through that wee stage where Griffiths was sitting on the bench and he was giving Edward a lot of game time. In those games, he didn't particularly stand out to be, yep, he's someone that he got a run of, what, 4 or 5 games? Yep, he's someone we'll spend £6 million on. For me, I think he's got potential. He's a decent player, scores good goals, he's strong. But for that price, no, not for me.
Kieran?
Surely with Rodgers saying that he's probably one of the best youngsters he's got at that age, is that not enough for the club to break the bank?
Well, that's up to Brendan Rodgers, aye.
That was quite a statement, Mark.
That was a statement.
Give you a snapshot into what Brendan Rodgers thinks in terms of will he act on it in the summer?
Time will tell. Brendan Rodgers has come out with a big statement there. So, I mean, if it comes summer and they do sign him, well, you can see why they have, because Brendan Rodgers says it. And look, he's in the best position. He sees him every day. He's one of the best young players he's coached. But if they don't sign him, I mean, what does that tell you then? If they're not going to sign him after your manager comes in and says he's one of the best he's worked with, that would be strange. So
I'll be down at price.
Any more on the full-time teaser? Looking for 11 Celtic players who've scored in their Old Firm debuts since 1990 and are no longer at the club.
I'm going to have a stab for...
I'll take one more guess at the moment.
Gary Hooper?
Yes, well done, in 2010. Okay, St Mirren fans, this might be time for you to get involved if you've been listening away quietly. We're going to hear from your manager, Jack Ross, if you want to speak to us about that. 01419511025, we'll hear from Jack Ross and get the answers to the teaser after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com.
Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
We're into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're looking for the answers to the full-time teaser. Martin Burns has sent this one in. I can see a couple of you, for instance, who was it? Hugh Moan, I think some others suggesting Paul Byrne. He's not on Martin's list. This is where I take a step back and remove myself from all responsibility. He's not on Martin's list.
That's a great shout, actually.
I'm interested to know. Anyway, in terms of the
wide player, the outside right.
In terms of the list that we have in front of us, you got anything else for us? 11 players. 11 players have scored for Celtic on their Old Firm debuts and are no longer signed to the club.
Did we give you Hooper? Yeah.
Yes.
Chris Commons.
Yes. Well done. Yep.
Oh, Mark's come out with the best one. He played in the game.
No, that was the only two you gave.
Pierre Van Hooijdonk.
He certainly didn't play in that game, but that's right.
No.
Okay. Any more? I think we're looking for three more.
Are we allowed guesses or?
Yeah. I had a guess. I went Kadetti, I don't think. Right. Barry Robson?
No.
Okay.
All right, we'll get back to it. I did say, St Mirren fans, this might be the time for you to get involved. Not seen any of you on the phone lines just yet. 01419511025. You've only got a couple of minutes to squeeze this in. St Mirren manager Jack Ross says he's delighted to see the likes of Lewis Morgan, Ken McGuinness and Liam Smith called up for Scotland under 21 duty. He's praising the club's consistency in producing young talent. The Buddies are 10 points clear, though, more pressingly, at the top of the Championship. He says the players are excited at the prospect of promotion, but must keep their focus on the job in hand.
We've consistently had players involved in that age group for a while now. Some of them have departed the club, and it's good that we're still producing them, although, obviously, particularly Liam Smith is obviously not our player on loan from Hearts. Although Lewis has went to Celtic, we still kind of view him as being ours at the moment. So, and Kyle's obviously just come into that squad recently, Kyle McGuinness. So, nice reflection on their performances this season, and always a nice reflection on the club as well. You know, it doesn't change for us because in this last quarter we've had goals and targets from pre-season, and they've never changed. The encouraging thing for me is that as we approach this final quarter, they can still be achieved. So that we've not had to adjust them in any way. So there's always been a consistency of what we've done and a consistency of our ambition. Players understand that they're in they are in a good place. They're excited about it and desperate to achieve what they want to this season.
What are we thinking about the top of the Championship at the moment? Everybody on this programme has got it nailed on, saying, yep, it's St Mirren's and all that. So 10 points clear of Livy, level on games played, 17 points clear of United, but United have 3 games in hand. Anybody see any way which St Mirren don't go on?
No chance for me. St Mirren, St Mirren all day long. I think if you start seeing them sewn up a bit and things aren't looking good behind the scenes, a wee wobble. I don't think so. I think they've been that good this season, and their manager is that good that he'll get the job done. And it's sometimes the hardest thing. See, just getting over the line, you're just wanting that game to come round where you actually win the Championship, and then you can relax. But I think and plus I think United behind them, I know they're 3 games in hand, but Dundee United are that poor just now and that inconsistent that you win the bank in them. So now, for me, St Mirren all day long and well deserved at that.
Gordon DL?
Totally agree. I think we'll see St Mirren in the top league next season. Looking forward to it. Terrific wee club down there, and a lot of good people working hard behind the scenes, and the manager's doing a terrific job. They're too far out now. Livingston have had a good season. Dundee United got a real important result there.
Queen of the South.
Yeah, that was a big one, especially going 1-0 down, Gordon. Had to show a bit of character. So I don't think they'll have enough. I've watched them a couple of times this season. I don't think they'll have enough. They can't. You've got to put a run together now and not lose and hope St Mirren fall apart. Ain't going to happen.
That match between St Mirren and Falkirk, the news yesterday, remember that it's been rearranged. Well, sorry, it's going to be rearranged because of international call-ups. So as we heard Jack Ross talking about there, Lewis Morgan, Kyle McGuinness, Liam Smith, who's on loan, all going to be involved in Scotland under 21 action. Another chance, Mark, for Lewis Morgan to go and listen, it's against weaker opposition. It's Andorra they're playing, so I get that. But another chance just for Lewis Morgan to try and do the business for Scotland as well, as he builds towards what's going to be a big summer where he moves to Celtic and tries to break in there.
I mean, I know it's against weaker opposition, but international football, even at under 21 level, is a big deal. It's a big step up. So you're totally right. It's a big another big challenge for him to go and show. And you know what? Especially to show the new Scotland manager for the full team that he's capable of playing international football. We've seen Alex McLeish's squad. He's calling up young players. You know, and Lewis Morgan has been around the international setup now for so long that he knows what it takes, okay, at a younger age. But Alex McLeish might just see, look at his performances in the past and perhaps this one coming up and think, you know what, I'm going to give him a chance. He's going to a bigger club. He'll be playing with better players. Games against teams like Andorra might just boost his chance of a full cap further down the line.
Just before I let you go, we actually have a game tomorrow night, Friday night football in the Ladbrokes Premiership between St Johnstone and Hibs. That has a massive, massive look about it if you're Neil Lennon and Hibs Gordon and you're trying to push up that table, because it's business end of the season, as we know, and they've got a real chance still of catching the teams in front of them.
Yeah, I've been impressed with Hibs. I've watched them at Ibrox and they play good football. I watched them in the Edinburgh Derby there night there last week. I thought they deserved to win that. They've got some outstanding talent, especially in the middle of the park. Dylan McGeoch for me has been magnificent this season. McGinn, everybody talks about him. Scott Allen coming back and his goal just showed the talent the boy's got. He just needs regular games and needs someone to believe in him. Neil Lennon's that guy. Hibs are a real, probably everybody, the most improved side coming up from the Championship. They've done a terrific job, Neil Lennon and his staff.
And I think we save the most important issue to last. Sometimes we get it right there at the top of the show, the breaking news, if you like. But sometimes it's good to save the best to last. It's your birthday tomorrow. Big plans.
Oh, massive. Massive plans. Yeah. Yes, yes.
You wouldn't believe
it.
What,
you 63?
No, don't start that. You know. I'm going on a nice...
You're never still under 60, are you?
Oh, well under 60. Behave yourself.
You haven't that, Mark?
No way.
Well under 60.
No chance. I'm going for a
birthday cycle and then a little...
birthday cycle.
Oh, calm down.
Rock and roll. Rock and roll with a scone. Oh. And then...
He's like it all.
I'm going out... I'm going out for a little meal and a bit of celebration.
Right, okay.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Good stuff. Back to the teaser then. You've still got three more answers to get. Looking for 11 players since 1990 who scored for Celtic on their Old Firm debuts and are no longer signed to the club. You've got three to get. Mark Wilson, I saw your eyes light up. You were debating with Gordon DL. You were whispering away. You reckon you played?
I've got a belter. Yep. Absolute belter.
I hope this is wrong.
So do I.
No, it's not wrong. I was there. El Kadouri.
That is a belter.
Scored at Ibrox.
It's well done. Badr El Kadouri back in 2011. They've still got two to get, by the way.
Samaras.
No, one 1992 and one in 1999.
What? Told you early 90s.
92 and 99.
Alan Thompson.
For eras for the 99. One. No.
No, I'm struggling. I'm out.
One of them went on to be a Celtic manager. There's only been a couple. Come on. That have played for the club and managed.
I know.
Recently? Who were your Celtic managers? Quickly round them off to me.
Who else?
Neil Lennon, Gordon Strachan. Tony Mowbray.
Ah,
I was going to say Big Morgan.
Not as if you had an insight there, having played under him or anything. Last one. No. 1999. A 4-2 game at Ibrox, November 7th. Oh, he's done it.
Berkovic.
Well done, yes. Mark.
Delighted. Well done. Thank you to Mark Wilson and Gordon DL for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And a big thanks to you for listening. We do it all over again tomorrow at 6 with Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.